joining us all the way from Maldives. He's a good friend of the show, Fabian Fernandez. He's, of course, the captain of the Voyager Destiny. He is on his mission to circumnavigate the world. So, Fabian, the last time we spoke, you were in our cozy studio in Bukit Jalil. Currently, you are just a pin drop in the ocean right now. Tell me more about how has it been over the past few weeks taking the Destiny from Port Klang all the way to Maldives.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me on, Ibrahim. Well, we left on the 6th of February from Port Klang, and it's been a fantastic voyage thus far. And everything worked perfectly fine. The boat was good. The weather was perfect. We got into Maldives. Maldives is super. Maldives is just fantastic. I mean, it's been an amazing... I think we have traveled in total now almost 2,500 miles. And now that's nautical miles. And it's just been amazing, truly.
One thing that we spoke of last time was the, I guess, issues surrounding trying to get sponsors and people to help out with the journey. From what I understand, that has been resolved to some extent. Maybe you can talk to us to that effect.
Okay, what has happened so far is that we have been able to get foreigners to crew with me. I mean, my whole aim of this voyage was to share this with other Malaysians, but unfortunately, that has not happened. And I'm forced to take on foreign nationals on the boat because I need to have more than one person besides me. It's my choice to have crew. And if it is Malaysian, I much prefer it simply because it gives them an opportunity to experience what I'm seeing. On the other part, like for instance, our next, in May, we progress towards Chagos, but Chagos needs permits. Now, I've already written to NIO's PA and they have not replied. I'm putting it out now because I think it has to be said. Because I'm a Malaysian, I'm traveling, I'm spreading the Malaysia, I'm sending out our flag all over the place. People don't even know that they are Malaysian sailors and I'm doing this. And I need some help, mainly now in the sense that I'm already leaving, I've already left. My journey has already started. But for Malaysia to be seen outside, this is a golden opportunity. And if it's possible, I need help to address, like for instance, there's a motorbike at the back. Okay.
That adds to the exotic element to this whole recording, Fabian. Go ahead.
So we need to get special permits to enter Chagos. You know, if we could get the help from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, this would be of great help to me because the government can just make a call or assist me to get the permits. I've got whatever they required from the boat side, but you know, if the government decides to support us, it will help me a lot. It's just talking to their counterparts on the UK side, you know, to just give me a chance to get there. And it will be to my knowledge, there has been no Malaysian to have set foot on that island. So to me, that is a first good flag waving exercise for Malaysia. And I need this support, which I also mentioned to you. And that is why I'm saying that thanks for asking me this question. And this is where I need help. I'm not asking for much, but it would be of great help to me.
The reality is as such where a contingency plan has to be made. What would be some of your contingencies that could be having to be activated, considering that you might not necessarily get what you are requesting?
Okay, so in the event now, if they cancel or I'm not able to get the permits, because you cannot enter the Chagos Archipelago without the permits, so I'm going to go in May, divert my course towards Seychelles and then towards East Africa. So that means I miss out on going to Chagos, that's all. My journey has started, Ibrahim. I'm going.
Okay. Right now is day what, Fabian, in terms of your voyage?
Now we are at, we started on February 6th. It's March 14th now. It's slightly more than a month. But in the rally, we started the rally on March 1st in Maldives. We've started off in the north of Maldives and we're working our way down. So it's not much sailing now because the rally stops and goes showing us different islands in Maldives.
I'm sure you have had experience in terms of what the rally is looking like or what to expect, but nothing beats the whole experience of doing it yourself right now. What were the learnings that you experienced partaking in the rally, and the kind of trials and tribulations that you have faced so far?
Okay, let's start with the rally itself. You know, my impression of Maldives in the whatever I've had family, I've never been to Maldives before, and people before me have told me, oh, Maldives is beautiful. It's all about luxury resorts, very high-end resorts with very high, it's expensive, so on and so forth. But when you go down to the ground, when you see what the rally aims to show to the world, is it's not anything like that. It's totally different. The people are fantastic. And you cannot see that in a resort, simply because in a resort, everybody is forced to smile because they're being paid to do so, and they want good reviews on TripAdvisor. But these islands that I've been to, some are 20 hectares, 30 hectares, which are really small. They have a population of 200-300 people. There is smiles everywhere. The MD of the Tourism Corporation here told me one line that stuck on to me was, Maldives is a very small country, but it has a people with a big heart, which is exactly true. It's a fantastic place. You can't see that in the resorts. What you see is something that, to me, looks manufactured. What we see when we go down here is totally different. Totally different. Okay, coming back to the other part on trials and tribulations on sailing. So, despite all my preparations, I took a long time preparing the boat. We had a few mishaps on the boat. And not as in dangerous kinds of mishaps, but we had issues with, the toilet gave way. So we had to do toilet repairs in the middle of the sea and get it working. That was the first thing. And then what else was the other one that causes some trouble? Oh, our water maker went into, we have a desalination unit on the boat. That gave us some problems. So we had to basically toughen it out, shower in the rain, don't shower for a few days because we were conserving water. Because the whole purpose of the desalination unit was to give us enough fresh water. But it went, for some reason, it went on a fritz sometime halfway through the journey. But we had enough to take us on until Maldives. So it was okay. But the toilet and this were the two issues that cropped up while we were at sea. And it had to be sorted out.
Part of this journey of yours is trying to inspire other Malaysians and other folks around the world to be a little bit more adventurous and try to be a little bit more brave or courageous in terms of trying to expand into the unknown. Do you feel that you have inspired some of the folks right now? I'm not just talking Malaysia, but around the world as well, because your social media is also tracking some of the programs or progress that you're making right now. Tell me more about some of the reactions that you have had from your friends and perhaps even strangers that is following this trip of yours online.
Okay, so far what I find very good is, on the good part is I'm getting a lot of positive comments now coming my way. And it's coming from a lot of people whom I don't even know, outsiders, outside my own circle, outside Malaysia itself. And that is a good thing. At last, I have people coming and saying things to me, even Malaysians that come up to me and say, hey, look, fantastic job. Like, you reached that far. You know, like you said just now, you know, pin drop. If you look at the map, it's just one dot in the middle of the Indian Ocean, because Maldives is a many atolls. So you just see a dot when you see my tracker. But the thing is, this is what's going to happen. You know, when you cross, for me, it was amazing. It's the first, what do they say about, the first step is always the hardest. And when I left Langkawi the other day, and when we hit Male, and as the capital of Maldives, it was an amazing feeling. It's not about arriving. It's just that, oh, okay, it's already started. It's always the most difficult step. It's done. So this support has been coming in now a bit more positive, I would say, in the sense that my family is more supportive. They're all seeing it. They're tracking. They're sending, because I send daily messages back to Malaysia to my shore support team. So they are aware what's happening. I tell them, they are also aware. They are looking at the wind. They are looking at trackers. They are always looking at stuff going on. So, which is nice, to have other people looking at you and talking about it. We have another Malaysian boat now in the rally with us. And they were also following a few miles, few hundred miles behind us. And it's good to see fellow Malaysians now in the water and doing something like this. Although they are not on a world trip, I am. but it does not matter. For me now, Malaysians, it's not about sailing. I'm not doing this just about sailing. I'm trying to bring people to start thinking to get out of their comfort zone, do things that are going to benefit them in the future. You know, these things, you can plan it, you can do it, but you need to want to do it. You know, end of the day, it's always about that. Oh, I'm going to do it, get it done. And crossing from Langkawi to Male, to me, was, it's done, it started. There's no, not to say there's no turning back, but it has already started. When you sit in Langkawi and you look at the yacht club looking out, you'll just see, oh, you know, I'm still here. But let's say when you are now in Male, you can't say that anymore. You're already here. And it is icing on top of the cake is having a, such a beautiful place to come into, you know, and that's like, the, it's just the cherry on top of the cake.
Okay, fantastic, Fabian. We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Fabian Fernandez of The Destiny. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Fabian dialing in from Maldives, part of the first leg of his world tour, I suppose. Let's talk a little bit more about the trade winds that you need to sail. Every now and then, I check the satellite map on where your progress is. And for viewers that do not know, the map also shows the direction of the wind. And sometimes it's, or most of the time, it's actually showing the right, the wind is pushing the right direction. However, there are some times where I saw the wind is actually pushing the other way or not in the way where you need to be. How do you manage all this situation when it comes to navigating or seafaring out in the open sea? How do you ensure that you continue to go in the right direction despite the uncooperative nature of the nature, I suppose, or Mother Nature?
Okay, let's just say, for example, now I'm going to take as an example the trip between Langkawi and Male. It has an approximate distance of about 1,800 miles. Put it into perspective, that would be quite a way. It's almost two-thirds across the Indian Ocean. The Indian Ocean, if you hit Africa, will be around 3,000 plus. So we have already done more than half. We are now in the northeast monsoon, as we are seeing in Malaysia, all that rains bringing in floods and whatnot. Now, this northeast monsoon blows throughout the northern hemisphere for this period. I think it's coming to an end. It should be tapering down now. What will happen is when it turns, which is why I have to start off in order to get to the Maldives in the north, I need to start January, February to use the northeast monsoon to push. If you see, then northeast monsoon will take me all the way to Maldives, which it did. Basically, we only changed our sails a few times, a position of our sails, because we had localized rain clouds. Probably what you saw was, you know, as a result of localized weather, the rain forces the wind to change its direction. And that's what happened. But it was managed. We have to just switch our sails for a while and then it turns back to normal. So when we are like now, for instance, the next trip, the reason why it's in May and not now is because the northeast monsoon is already tapering down. As a result, if you go to Seychelles now, you might be hit with very little wind because it's transitioning to the next phase, which is going to change the direction of the wind again. And in transition, you have lesser winds. So what we are doing now is we are proceeding south. Let's say Chagos does not happen. We will still proceed towards the south of Maldives, which is Gan. There's a place called Gan, and it's part of the Ardu Atoll. And from there, we will turn towards west and head west towards Seychelles. And then we will have the winds, actually the trade winds will be coming in more from southeast, which means we'll be getting the wind basically from the back or between 90 and 120 degrees from the back, which is what's ideal for us. So the timing is very critical. All throughout the sail that I had, almost we had done, the most difficult part of the sailing, to be honest, was between Port Klang and Langkawi. Because we had fish nets, we had fishing boats, we had so many ships. It's a stressful location. Once you get into the Indian Ocean, and once we cleared the north of Sumatra and the Andaman Islands, it's almost, of course, there were ships, but we could see them.
I need to ask you a very, I guess, basic question because I don't know anything about seafaring, right? What about security? What about pirates? What about, you know, bandits, so to speak? Is that part of the consideration that when you think of when you go out in the sea?
Of course, we there is a consideration. There will always be bad people in this world. I mean, that's a given. But over the last, when I was sailing in my merchant marine days, the northern part of Sumatra and the eastern part of Sumatra was known for piracy attacks. Even Singapore was known for piracy attacks, especially in the southern part of Singapore facing Indonesia. They were ships were being attacked or being robbed during their passage through Singapore Channel. Of course, the Malaysian, the Indonesian, and the Singaporean governments have done their part, and this has almost is almost gone now. Whereas, let's say we go move towards the other portion, because I'm not going into the Suez Canal. That the Horn of Africa is a dangerous place. Somalia, you know, you watch the movie Captain Phillips, I think, the one with Tom Hanks in it, and you see that that's all true. Malaysia that had sent people there to also help to in the protecting vessels in that area at one given time. Now, that too has already reduced significantly to the point that even most of the navies now don't even maintain a presence there. So piracy, in a way, has reduced significantly, but then if you go now towards Madagascar, for instance, now Madagascar is still closed. It's in my route towards South Africa. Madagascar is still closed. And because of COVID hitting them so badly in the last two to now, they are basically in their third year. I would expect the people to have been really suffering because they don't have jobs, they don't have money. Now, this will force about things like piracy and, you know, terrorism and whatnot. So, of course, for me, when I head towards Africa, I will try my best not to go anywhere close to Madagascar. I will clear Madagascar, head towards Africa, and then sail along the coast towards South Africa. That's the spot that I need to be a bit careful. But then there is also French colonies there, which is one of it is called Mayotte, which is a possible stop because if it's a French colony, you have a lot more safety because the French still control a lot of the infrastructure there, and whereby it will be safer to get in. So there is that element, yes, but you have to work around it.
Okay, basically trying to reduce that risk by ensuring that the location that you're at is not a high risk area. Yes. One more question before we head off to the break. How are the things right now with your crew and the mental well-being of yourself even? After doing the first leg of the voyage, do you feel that it is all that you expected it to be, or were there some unanticipated events that occurred that resulted for you to try to find a remedy towards these unforeseeable circumstances when it comes to mental health or I guess team dynamics, that kind of stuff?
Okay, one of the things that differs among crew will always be our cultural differences. Now, one of my preference was, like I even mentioned all throughout my interview, even in my local media, radio and everything, is to get Malaysians. Simply because we share similar cultures. We may not have the similar religion, but we share similar cultures in the way we operate. Now, I have a Czech and a British on board as my crew. There are differences, and this is something that I'll have to manage in order to finish my voyage. Had this been a Malaysian, or of someone of similar cultural background, it would have been better and easier. Simply, it's just like you put two people in a house, one is of a different background, you'll always have that dynamics that doesn't work. It takes time. And we are forced into a situation, and it's a high stress situation. So you put people of different cultures and beliefs, you put them in a situation like that, oh, you can go very wrong. So that is why, to me, that was one that was impacting us for a bit because we have Czech and a British, different levels of experience, and that also changes the dynamics of the whole picture. But overall, it was manageable. I wouldn't say it was the best, it wasn't the worst. And we were blessed in the sense that God gave us good weather throughout the trip, and it was less stressful in that sense. Okay, losing a toilet, yeah, well, you know, we got it sorted out.
I don't know, man. Losing a toilet sounds very, very stressful for me. Okay, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll conclude our conversation with Fabian Fernandez. Thanks for staying on with us. I have Fabian of Destiny dialing in from the Maldives. Fabian, what do you do when you know you're like doing a really long leg on a voyage? Do you write? Do you, I don't know, compose music? Are you losing yourself in your own thoughts? What do you do?
Okay, this trip, because it's my first trip, so I'm just trying to soak in the experience. You know, of the best parts are when I'm alone at night, because we take watches different times. When at night, some will be sleeping, so I will be awake, and during the 3 hours that I'm awake alone, it is a good time to soul search and to sit. And for me now, this trip has been about absorbing the feeling of actually doing this now. It's taken so long for me to think about it and prepare and be actually down and started. It's that needs a little bit of, you know, you need to get it. It has to sink in. So what I plan to do is I have two journals. One journal will be my spiritual journey, and the other one will be my journey itself. So on, because this to me has always been a spiritual journey. I mean, people ask me many times why I did it. I think to me it's a spiritual one, whereby I seek to find something that I feel is there, but we all tend to lose it for whatever reason it may be. And I found it when I was away at sea last time, and this is the feeling that I want to get back. And so it is very much a spiritual journey for me, and in time I suppose it will come back to me.
Okay. For the Malaysians that are trying to keep an eye on the voyage, what would be the resources that they can access? And of course, what would be some of the thinking that they should have in terms of tracking your journey here?
Through my socials, I will believe that what I will do after this is to actually put on my tracking on it. There is a site where you can track me live, and I will put that on. So that they can actually see the progress of Destiny. And then hopefully, to me, actually, I want to see people aim for things bigger than themselves. You know, see that you can achieve things. You know, you don't need to be super rich or born of a particular family to be able to do certain things. Normal folk can do magnificent things. This is what the message needs to go out to our young, to our old also, that, you know, we have to go out and live our lives. And this is how I hope to inspire the people moving forward, that this is what we want to do. And they can track my progress. I mean, it's going to be like a few years before I finish it, but it's going to finish. Always the first step is the hardest, and it's already done. And I'm sitting in this place, you know, look at this. What can I complain? It's fantastic. You can't see the sea at the back there. There's two colors of blue there at the back. So yeah. It is unbelievable, and it's fantastic. It's something that, you know, you have to see and experience. And you add that with all the cultural stuff that I'm seeing around here. Can you imagine? They have shrines from Buddhism dating back more than 2,000 years. I mean, this is way before Islam, way before Christianity, you know. And you can find these things in these islands. You know, it's like in the middle of nowhere. You get carbon dating showing back more than 2,000 years, which is, to me, is mind-blowing. You know, that people came here 2,000-3,000 years ago, and then you have the, you know, this thing present there, you know. This is things that, you know, if someone told me this, like before, oh, you have all these things in Maldives, really? I would like, I thought it's all 7-star resorts. That's what I thought. It's not the case. I would encourage Malaysians to start expanding their view of the world, you know. We are in a country which is blessed. Malaysia is blessed, which has got so many advantages. And with that, we people of Malaysia need to start looking out. Go and see the world. The world is such a big place. It's not centered around one region in your district. It's the whole world. Look, there are so many kinds of people, friendly people out there, and so many types of food to experience. It's fantastic. Just, you don't need to sail like me. Go out. Just move. Find ways. Get all these budget airlines to fly you to some place that you never heard of. You know, just pick one number and then just go. You know, that's how you experience life.
Fantastic, Fabian. As promised, we're going to keep track of Fabian's journey throughout this whole voyage. As Fabian said, It might take a few years, but you know, checking in on him and where he is on the various exotic places around the world is actually quite critical, because that allows us to continue to be inspired. That sustaining of the inspiration is actually quite critical. Fabian, I'm sure it was hard for you to set up your setup here, open your internet, laptop and everything. So I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. I really do wish you from the bottom of my heart all the best in your ongoing journey. Bon voyage, and of course, safe journey, Fabian.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
If you want to learn more about Fabian's journey, just head on to Destiny's social media. It's going to be on all our links in the descriptor video. Of course, you can also just ensure that you keep track of his journey on astronauty.com. I'm Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.